This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9TheGame.com. Didn't want to step on that. You ready to bring our guest on here?
Oh, yeah.
Got to thank him for coming on this morning. D. Orlando Ledbetter getting a set for Falcons Cowboys. Mr. Crenshaw, I will acquiesce.
I hope he's excited by hearing Atomic Dog and don't get a penalty flag thrown like our frat brothers at South Carolina State, D-Led.
The bros up there kind of went for it. It's over the whole end zone.
Yeah, they did. They did. They do that. Yeah, they did. But we're going to talk about the Falcons here today and this week. And the Cowboys in town, we knew when the schedule was made this was going to be a special week. But the Falcons, we didn't know the Falcons would be in first place the way they are. But what are some things we need to do to maintain that we don't take our foot off the pedal? Because that's the thing, my concern today.
Yeah, no doubt. And we've seen it a couple weeks ago against Seattle. They let them hang around. And then it got, sideways late. And they can't do that against Dallas. You know, the thing that they did in that game that, extended drives, had some misfires. Saw some last week, even when they got up 31-17, fumbled the ball out of the end zone, extended a couple drives with penalties and so forth. So you got to clean all that stuff up, try to play a clean game, and go ahead and beat a team that you should – be able to take care of these days.
And D-Led, given the injuries on the Cowboys' defensive side of the ball, if they keep those knucklehead, plays away from this game, and as you said, play a clean game, do you got to feel good about this offense going up against that Cowboys' defense?
Yeah, no doubt. You don't really have to do much. They're kind of light up front. You can run the ball on them. So this looks like a game where you load it up and give the ball to your two running backs there, Bijan and Tyler Algier, and just run it down their throats, get out of there with a win, sustain the drive, get touchdowns. Can't have cool missing field goals, and you should be able to, by 4 o'clock, the Falcons should be in a pretty good spot.
I'll use your term again, D-Led, and playing clean. Are you liking the way these the offensive weapons have been used this year, specifically Kyle Pitts?
Yeah, no doubt. We saw it kind of start off with Kurt being really comfortable with Ray on the check downs and Bijan on the check downs. And then he kind of moved to London and Mooney. And then, as of late, we've seen Kyle Pitts get open deep and make some big plays for the offense. So, yeah, he's spreading it around now. And, teams can't, sit on one receiver. So it's definitely made them more diversified.
Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline with D. Orlando Ledbetter, AJC. He is social. You always can find him at D. Orlando AJC, at D. Orlando AJC. We talk about what's missing from the Cowboys from the defensive side, talk about their offensive side, and we always wonder which Dak Prescott we're going to get. But we understand their running back, the veteran running back, has been left home. Does that make a difference, though? Is he making that kind of impact this season?
No, Zeke has got left home for disciplinary reasons. He's a 9-year veteran. I don't understand that, but that's their problem.
Yep.
but Rico Dowdle's their lead running back. They bought Zeke back just for short yardage stuff, and he has two of their three rushing touchdowns, so it hasn't been great. They did activate Delvin Cook, former four-time Pro Bowler, who's trying to revive his career down in Dallas. So he's only had 6 carries this year for 12 yards. So you don't need to let that running game get going. And then you got to take care of CeeDee Lamb in the passing attack. The wide receiver led the league with 135 catches last year. He's off to a good start, and he'll be Dak's primary target today.
Understand Cowboys' offensive line has had some problems. Could this be the week that we get some sacks? Because understand this offensive line leaves a lot to be desired out in Dallas.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, well, they've been working at it, and, Jimmy Lake said the pass rush is evolving, but last week it evolved to 0 sacks and 0 quarterback hits, so let's just say they're due for some sacks. I think Dak has been sacked 18 times. If you could take CeeDee Lamb away and force him to hold it, then the guy's got a shot to get there. You know, Matt Judon has not had a sack since the second game of the season. So we need to see him get going. Clearly, Coach Morris said, hey, you know, when they have had one-on-one matchups, they haven't won enough of them. So, he's not sugarcoating anything there. He's probably told the players the exact same thing he told us. So guys that get their one-on-one matchups need to get home to the quarterback. That's what the coach wants to see, and that's what they reportedly have been working on since, you know, we don't get to see nothing but stretching anymore. We just have to take their word for it.
I always like getting D-Liz's opinion about some of the other teams, especially in the division. I'm trying to get past that one.
Yeah, man, go ahead.
I was thinking of you. You popped into my head when I heard the news this past week, or a report, I should say, when they were speculating about movement and quarterbacks that are getting second lives. Of course, you got the game tonight. Joe Flacco is going to be put in to Indianapolis, and we know he got off the couch a couple years ago and has seen some success coming back. But my question is about Carolina and what they're doing there, and the report that Bryce Young is possibly being moved. If you were covering that team or know what was going on up there or any kind of connection to it, how would that land with you as far as already? Do you feel like they should be thinking about moving this dude?
Well, I mean, you know, you got an unstable ownership situation. If he's not your quarterback and he can't play, then move him. You know, we're seeing people move a little quicker off of guys. You know, the Jets probably held on to Zach Wilson longer than they needed to. You saw the move on from Trey Lance real quick in San Francisco. So if you decide your new regime there, Dan Morgan and Coach Canales, that, you know, he's not your guy, I mean, that's a rough thing to tell the owner who just gave away 3 first-round picks to get him.
Yeah.
But if you got to move on, you got to move on. So I learned that from Ron Wolf in Green Bay. It's like, hey, you know, they drafted some defensive end high in the first round, but they found out he couldn't play right away. And so he said there's no sense of compounding the mistake and moving on and trying to get what you can get and try to build your foundation in another way.
What are we looking at, though? Because all people is talking about the maturation process for quarterbacks in this league and how so much is expected because they run pro-style offenses in college. People think they're going to come right on in and you're going to get what you got with Stroud down in Houston last year. That's not necessarily so. And what do you make of what happened with Richardson last week in Indianapolis? Can he stay there?
He was tired, Sam.
No, you know what I mean? Are we throwing too much at these guys too soon? Because we think about Richardson and his potential. He didn't play a whole lot of football down in Florida. But we expect him all of a sudden to step in and be this mature, ready person to go at the next level. What are we looking at?
Well, what we're seeing is a problem with developing quarterbacks. You know, teams don't want to be patient like the Falcons and the Green Falcons are trying to do now. What the Green Bay Packers did with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers and Love. They got the guys in, taught them the pro game. Let them sit for 3 years. and, develop the quarterbacks like they used to do before we had all these billionaire owners and, wanting returns on their investment and all that kind of stuff. You know, you're throwing people out there that aren't ready to play. And we're seeing them get recycled now. You know, Baker in Tampa, Darnold in Minnesota, Jared Goff from the Rams to the Lions. So, teams are just being rushing the development of the quarterbacks and messing it up. And then some guys are getting second chances at it. But that's what it is. Folks want instant gratification in this microwave age when the guys are playing that aren't ready to play. It's just the old school versus new school approach. Falcons are going old school here with Michael Penix, who is, lighting it up in practice. But I know the fans don't want to hear that. They want to see Michael Penix, man. My neighbor was like, hey, Led, tell him to quit playing with us and put Penix out there. I'm like, man, he's not going to play. They're developing him. So until they do otherwise, we're going to stick with the developmental plan. And some teams need to do that, too. If you're going to, draft a high commodity like that, don't throw him out there when he doesn't know what he's doing.
You also got to look at this, Sam. The schedule is on the Falcons' side, too. I mean, they got two more division games. The second one we just got to talk about Carolina, so I'm not really worried about that one. And the teams that they're playing short of Minnesota right now, and I don't know, you can make a case for maybe one or two others, it's looking pretty good. D-Led, you're looking at a playoff team right now. We've asked you this before, but the way it's constructed and them playing them, as you like to put it, are we looking at a team?
Greg, they got 9 games to go, long season here. They're off to a good start and great position. Now, they're going to be underdogs in 3 games. And that's going to be Minnesota, maybe Washington. So then you win the other 6, you are in the playoffs at 11-6 and possibly got a home game. So, yeah, they just handle their business here. And if they pull off an upset in Minnesota or something, or Washington, then, you're 12-5 and looking pretty good going into the playoffs. So, it looks like the way they played the first 8 games, you could see them still trying to get better. There's room for improvement. And the business games in front of you, you got to win down New Orleans next week. Then you go out to Denver. Then you got your bye week. So you're setting up there pretty good after 11 games. And then come back and close it out strong, and maybe we have a playoff game here in Atlanta for the first time since 2016.
Man, that's what we're looking at. Folks, that is D. Orlando Ledbetter. And like once again I said, he is social. You can find him at D. Orlando AJC. Go there later because you're going to get to see the bow tie check and see what he's going to be sporting today for the Falcons and Cowboys. D. Led, we appreciate you joining us.
Appreciate it, man.
I'll see you in a couple hours.
All right, Greg and Sam, thanks for having me this morning.
There you go. Thank you, D-Led, as always. We are, we got a couple things we want to finish up here. We might get another.
And we got some NASCAR, too, now.
I got that. And then I want to hear another call from Mike Conti from last night. We heard the one call. We'll hear another one.
Okay.
And we yet to hear from Noel, really, today. So let's see if we can get a minute with Noel to come on here and give us another good morning. It is Sam and Greg on this third day of November. Thank you for your part of your Sunday morning. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.